I'm Dr. Laura.
And I'm Ashley. And together, we're bringing you the Well Women Podcast.
The Well Women Podcast was created out of my passion for education and empowering women. I realized my patients were asking the same types of questions, but they weren't able to find answers. As I focused my naturopathic practice on treating period problems and balancing hormones, I wanted to share knowledge, tools, and actionable steps that women could take each week to change their life.
I'm a mental health coach and advocate, and I'm passionate about supporting people to be seen, be heard, and be well. I practice from a future focus and strength-based approach, which means that I believe you have all the answers inside of you. I just want to stand with you on your journey. I believe not everyone deserves to hear your story, but I really want to earn that right.
We hope that this podcast is able to teach you something, entertain, and help you feel a little less alone in this crazy world. Thanks for joining us.
And let's dive in. All right. So today we are going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, but also can be possibly quite triggering, especially in today's climate. So please keep that in mind. We're going to be talking about social media use, cyberbullying, and mental health and the connection to that. So I want to do a bit of a trigger warning that there will be a little bit of talk of death by suicide, because I did recently have someone close to me die by suicide, and I do want to kind of connect it to these pieces. So be mindful that there might be triggers that come with this. However, if you do need support, you're welcome to reach out to me or whoever else is in your kind of circle of support. We're not going to get too deep into that, so don't worry too much, but I do want you to be aware. You ready for that, Laura?
Yeah, I'm good. Let's dive in.
All right. So first things first, I kind of want to quickly address. I think a lot of people have seen it online, but there was a very powerful light, powerful force of a person that has died by suicide recently. And she was a friend of mine, and it was obviously quite surprising to us, because she did, for most people who knew her from social media and YouTube, saw the incredible life that she lived and didn't necessarily see the pain. And that's often what we see on social media, right? Is highlight reels and, you know, the positive things, but we're rarely seeing what's actually happening below the surface. And a large reason why she took her life was because of cyberbullying that she was actually experiencing. So
honestly, it's so devastating to even, like, I've been told this story. I've known this story for a while now. And I just feel devastated every time I hear it, because, and I think we'll probably get into this, but it does go back to the, again, life, things are different than what we see on social media. Because the first thing I said to you was like, wow, the fact that my first thought was, she was beautiful and she looked so happy and she looked like such a light. And why does that mean that she didn't have depression or she wasn't struggling, right?
Yeah. And I think I struggle with those types of comments, in a sense, because I got that comment from, you know, my parents, from my brother, mm-hmm. people in my life that were, you know, trying to console me.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm not angry about it by any means, but I was getting the same thing coming up, like, wow, she looked so happy and beautiful and carefree. And she definitely radiated this light out of her. And people couldn't understand, you know, how does that, you know, connect to this obviously extremely depressed side of her.
Yeah.
So we need to remember that what, you know, people put out into the world for others to see is very rarely what's actually going on. So we need to be looking deeper. We need to be asking questions. We need to be prying almost, and really kind of staying on people to make sure that they're being honest about what they're going through and what they're experiencing, and that they don't feel alone at any point. So social media, I think the cyberbullying aspect is just running rampant. Yeah. I mean, when you and I, Laura, were in high school, we just had Facebook.
Yeah.
And even on Facebook at that time, early Facebook, cyberbullying was a thing.
Wall to wall. Right? Like, wall to wall.
Yeah, right. I experienced, you know, quite a bit of cyberbullying online. I may have participated in a little bit of it. I'm not proud to say, but you know, we were young and stupid. And so it's been a thing for us growing up as well, but it's looked very different. Now the cyberbullying scene is like exponentially worse.
Yeah.
And right? We have so many more apps.
Absolutely. And have you been, like, we've talked about this before, but have you seen the comments on TikTok specifically?
Yeah, I can't even read comments on social media very much anymore because it is just infuriating to me that people think that they can hide behind their keyboards and say the things that they are saying when they would never say these things out loud.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
So it really is heartbreaking. So, and it, again, it's starting at such a young age too, right? Like these young people are having devices and apps and access to online really, really early in life.
Yeah.
And they're learning from what they experience on there, right? So it is somewhat, quote unquote, normal, and I hate that it is, but to kind of give some hate online, for lack of better words. And that's a problem.
And it's growing. And
yes, of course.
As an adult to put in perspective, I didn't get Instagram till I was in university. So 2012, I believe, 11 or 12. So we were almost adults, right? So so we talk about Facebook and probably back in high school, we probably said some mean things like mean girls do when they're young and stupid and their brains aren't developed. But when you run, have you ever gone to not someone you know, but have you ever gone on like a celebrity's Instagram or somebody in the public space and written a comment that was maybe less than glowing because you felt like they would never see it or they weren't a real
person? Never.
I haven't either. I may think like, so say there's a scandal, say some celebrity or public figure, actually Rachel Hollis as of late, but
right?
I think a lot of things about what she's done personally. I would never write my 2 cents on her Instagram. Like, what drives people to do this?
Well, exactly. And that you think, okay, they're not going to see it. Maybe that's what goes through your head. But when hundreds and thousands of people are commenting similar things, they're bound to see the messages, right? Like they're not, these influencers, these high profile people, similar to, you know, my friend, although she has lots of followers and lots of comments, that does not mean she's not seeing them. That does not mean she's not a real person behind everything, right? I was actually thinking about this, and this is a side note from what we were initially going to talk about. But this morning I was sitting in bed thinking about cancel culture.
Yeah.
When I was reading about all this Rachel Hollis stuff. Cancel culture, I'm very against cancel culture. I'm really for accountability culture. Yeah. I wish we could shift it. I wish we could shift to the point of, let's not cancel these people. Let's let them take accountability. Let's let them learn, and let's learn together from what they've done. Now, of course, I agree in cancel culture when it comes to like sexual assault and bigger, you know, incidences. Yeah. But for, you know, little slips of the tongue here and there that are not intentionally meant to be offensive, but can be misconstrued that way, I don't think that we need to be canceling these people.
How many times have you been in a group of friends and had a slip of the tongue or misspoke or said something?
Oh, for sure. We're human.
Yeah. Like I just think of the times even in a group of my friends and I said something like, I shouldn't have said it like that, or I shouldn't have done that because guess what? I'm not perfect. And neither are these people. And just because they're on a bigger stage, they have a bigger platform, doesn't necessarily mean that they're a horrible human, right? Maybe
exactly.
Rachel Hollis has done some shady crap, but I don't think that she needs to be hated on as much as she's being. Like no one deserves that.
For sure. And it doesn't even just relate to Rachel. No, there's so many of them. That have, you know, tried to say and do the right things at different times. But you're right. We say it's hard to keep up with what's acceptable and what's not right now. And I am all for, like, I am very much the type of person who, not that I get offended easily, but I am very picky of language.
Yep.
I am very on top of people around me to speak the appropriate way, to use the appropriate words. So I'm easily offended in a sense of I can pick up on things that might not have been super appropriate.
Yep.
But I don't think that it needs to be a complete cancel out, you know? Like, and you look at the Chris Harrison thing with The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he was in the wrong. 100%. I would never, you know, I don't support anything that he did. But can we allow him and the community to learn and to grow together?
100%.
As opposed to just a major cancel out.
Yeah. And I think we think about, like, lest we not forget, have you watched an episode of Friends in the past 5 years? Seinfeld, Friends, all the shows that we loved. I watched some of the episodes and I'm like, ooh, that would be inappropriate right now. But guess what? It was acceptable enough to be on mainstream TV and we didn't blink. So I think we're all growing and learning. And I think some things that, unfortunately, like people, the argument people say is it was never acceptable. It's like, no, it wasn't. But society didn't learn, right? Society wasn't there. And so at the end of the day, things are said, things happen, but we can't go widespread canceling things that happened 10 years ago. I mean, like you said, not sexual assault. We're not talking about rape here. Like, that's not what we're talking about, because sexual assault is very serious and we're not talking about that. We're talking about like slips of the tongue, things that were said maybe being meant a certain way that just – I don't know.
It's tough. Yeah. Well, and it ties right back to the cyberbullying.
Yes.
Too, right?
Yes.
Because not only are these celebrities being cyberbullied, these people who are more famous, but also everyday people like us and young people, everyone who's using these apps. You're right. TikTok, you know, the comments on these can just be horrific and really sad.
Yeah.
So what can we do? So let's talk about some actual kind of steps here, because we all know it's a problem.
Yeah.
When I work with young people, and I think this absolutely needs to be the same with adults as well, but when I work with young people around cyberbullying, I always talk to them about what can they do and how can they get involved in a safe way. Because obviously we don't want people to be adding flame to the fire. So if you see something happening online, the last thing we really want you to do is to jump in and try to, you know, cause more of an issue and kind of a snowball effect.
Yeah.
But what we do want to do is make sure that the victims, the people who are experiencing this, know that they are seen, that they are heard, and that people care about them, and then to get them the appropriate support. So I'll give you kind of an example of that. So if I always say to young people, if they're scrolling through, you know, whatever accounts they're using, their whatever social media apps, and they see some sort of bullying that's going on, I want them to reach out to that person who's experiencing it and say, hey, I see this is going on. I just want you to know that I'm acknowledging it. I care for you. I'm here for you if you need anything. That's, I think, the first step, because a lot of the times people can feel very alone in that and very unseen.
Yeah, and I think someone with thousands and thousands of followers, I wouldn't think to reach out to them, because I'd be like, who am I? Who am I to reach out to them, right? So I think that's
a right. But if you take into consideration this situation with my friend, I have no doubt that there were people I know that I was reaching. Well, I mean, we were friends, so, you know, but strangers could have been, I know they were reaching out too and saying nice things. And I have no doubt that that helped her quite a bit along the line. So make sure that we are reaching out saying, I see you, I care for you. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help. And as adults, we need to be doing that too.
Yeah.
Next step is getting proof. So screenshotting as much as you can. And I say to young people, this is not a screenshot to then send to your friends and talk about it in a group chat. This is a screenshot to then take to the appropriate people that need to see it. And that's different depending on what the situation is. So in a young person's life, usually I say screenshot as much as you can gather and take it either to your parents, or if those are your supportive people, or to the school, if there's a teacher or a guidance counselor or a principal that you're safe talking with. Show them what you've seen and allow them to navigate that and get the young person the appropriate support. If it's an adult, depending on the extent to what's going on, screenshotting as much as possible and either, you know, bringing it to the police sometimes is necessary. Or, you know, trying to navigate what that situation looks like with the person who is being victimized. So that could be, you know, lots of different options depending on what the adult who's being victimized wants to do, right? Because they can kind of make their own decisions in that moment.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I have a really hard time with is when people say that, or they make the comment that, oh, it comes with the territory. When you get fame, no. You get good and bad. You're supposed to expect it. You see all these comments. You see the comments that are like, yep. You're supposed to, if you want all these followers, yada, yada, yada. And that's so false. Like, I don't understand in what world we live in that if we become a certain person or a certain status, that we should expect people to attack us. Like,
right. And it's so hard because these are people.
Yeah.
These are real life people with past traumas, with current mental health issues, with current traumas. Like, you don't know. Like, we are talking about Rachel Hollis. We know she's going through a divorce. You know, we know that there's certain parts of her life. She has a traumatic past. Not that I'm giving her any, you know, lenience in what she said, but we don't know what she's currently dealing with in a sense of her own trauma, her own past, her own pain. So how can we, you know, it just breaks my heart, doesn't it? Like, I'm almost kind of speechless, and that's very rare for me to be speechless, and I think, especially on this type of topic.
And I think one thing we have to remember is oftentimes, not all the time, I'm not going to make a blanket statement, but oftentimes those who seek out types of careers that are in the public eye, performers, actors, people who do YouTube, people who share their lives, there's actually a high-ish percentage that do suffer from mental health issues. And,
for sure.
And what they do is people like Jim Carrey. We've seen Kanye West. We've seen a lot of musicians. We've seen a lot of people because they use that craft, that art. It's part of an outlet, right? Uh-huh. And so to believe that because they've chosen that outlet and because they are there in the performing arts, or they're making content for you, or they're doing something, they're entertaining you in some sort of way, whatever that is, to believe that they then deserve the criticism because it's kind of like, oh, you get what you asked for it. You want it to be fake. It's like, no, those two things are not mutually exclusive.
For sure. Absolutely. You're totally right. And it just continues to break my heart that, and you know what, let's scale back from celebrities for a bit, because like that, yes, that's an issue. And yes, it's heartbreaking. And yes, we need to be, but they have access to a lot more support because they are, you know, they have the money, they have the resources, they have the ability and the time. When it's, you know, kind of quote unquote normal everyday people who are experiencing this too, they have a lot less access to support. They might not be able to afford to see someone to talk to. They might not, you know where to go to navigate kind of a cyberbullying issue. Like a celebrity is going to go to their PR firm, right? And say, help me navigate this and what the next steps are. They're going to talk to their lawyers. Well, guess what? Normal people don't have a PR firm and a friggin' lawyer.
Yep.
So, you know, we have a lot more kind of everyday things to look at around this. But so my main thing with this whole topic is to keep in mind. So for parents, I want you to be talking to your young people about this. I want you to open the lines of communication around how they can identify cyberbullying, what are they looking for, how they can ask for help. So that's, again, making sure that they know when they come across these types of things that don't feel good to them, don't look good, make them feel a little uncomfortable, make them sad, whatever that may be, to screenshot and bring it to their parents to talk about. The reason I say screenshot is because things get deleted. Now, they're not just deleted off the internet forever. I get that. But if they're off Instagram, for people like us, we are not going to be able to find them again. The police may have access to.
Are we screenshotting? Are you talking about when someone is making comments towards them, or if they're seeing something on the outside, or both?
I would say both.
Okay.
Both for sure.
Okay.
Definitely if someone's saying it to you, like as much information as you can gather as possible is great. The reason I also say if you see other people is because we want to be standing up yeah. for this and not letting it just happen.
Yeah.
So if we're gathering information that might be helpful down the road, that can be really good. But we're not screenshotting again to cause more drama, to share it around. We're not, you know, using it as kind of ammo. We are gathering information to be able to support down the road if further investigation needs to happen.
And as a parent,
does that make sense?
Yeah. And as a parent, how do you navigate? So I know my cousin has three young girls. I believe, I could be wrong, but I think they're like 7, 8, 9 or 6, 7, 8. Like that's their age range. And they all have Instagram accounts because that's the thing now. Mm-hmm. But they are all monitored by their mother. She monitors their followers. She only allows them to have followers that she knows. Like they have like 6 followers. It's like friends, family members, like I'm a follower, whatever. So how does a parent, so not a 7, maybe a 15-year-old, they're probably not going to have the password. They're probably not going to have the information they need to do the same level of monitoring. How would you navigate that as a parent? Because I know a lot of times a 15-year-old is not going to run to their mom and tell them about
For sure.
an incident.
Oh gosh, this is a very tough question, Laura, and typically something I would need a good chunk of time to kind of digest, but I'll do my best here. So I think right off the bat, I want parents to start these conversations as young as possible. I don't want us to be waiting until they're 15 to start to try to build that communication and that relationship where they feel comfortable sharing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've gotten to this point so far and you haven't had these conversations, that's fine. That's fine. Like you can do that work. It's just going to be a little bit more tricky. But ideally for parents of younger people growing up now, so the young ones, like for example, even you, Laura,
yep.
the second Leo can start, you know, engaging with you and understands what a phone is and a tablet is, we need to be having conversations around safety, around what's appropriate, around boundaries. So ultimately having these conversations early. As far as if you have a 15-year-old now, 15 is such a hard age. What we want to be doing is ideally, this is so hard. So every family is going to have a different way of handling things.
Yeah.
So typically in this situation, if I was asked this question from a parent, I would explore with them where their like boundaries and lines are within their individual family.
Right.
Because I don't think there's a blanket response to this that I can put on it.
Yeah.
I wish there was. I think it's very different depending on the family. Some families are going to be very strict in the sense that they're like, nope, we do have the passwords. We have set times. We have set hours. We have, you know, it shuts off at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the more strict parents, I would have a different approach. For the more lenient parents, I would have an alternate approach as well. So for strict parents, I want to make sure that, how do I say this? We need to, although being strict, we need to still give them the autonomy and the freedom to make choices and decisions and mistakes ultimately. So we need to create a space where they can come to us when they make a mistake. And I say when, not if, because they're going to make a mistake. We just need to create a space where they are safe enough to come to us to talk about that, because it's going to happen. With the more lenient parents, exactly the same thing, create a space where they can come if something happens. But also when you're more lenient, there is quite often more conversation that can happen a little bit easier between the two parties, where the young person is more comfortable to have conversations like about their experience, because they know their parents probably aren't going to steal their phone away. One thing that I have heard from young people over and over and over and over, and I say in every presentation I ever do to parents, kids and teenagers are terrified their parents are going to take their devices. Yep. They're terrified.
Yeah.
So they tell me that they need to trust their parents aren't going to take their devices in order for them to tell them anything.
Right.
So if you're a parent, you need to keep your shit together. Yeah. When they tell you something's happened, even if it's scary, even if it's disgusting, even if it's a huge mistake that they made, you need to self-monitor and self-regulate yourself. So in that moment, you don't lash out, because if you lash out, they're never telling you again.
Yeah, I know.
If you keep it cool and you're like, okay, thank you for telling me, we're going to deal with this. Go into the bathroom or the bedroom and scream your heart out if you need to, but don't do it in front of them, because they're not going to open up next time something happens.
I know. And I can see as a parent myself, like, obviously my son's not even two. I don't have to deal with this. Like, he has tantrums when I don't, like, let him use the Tim Hortons pods. Like, he is so far from, like, being that sort of issue. But it gives me such anxiety because I understand what that might feel like for parents, because I feel this sense of, like, I want nothing to happen to them. I'm going to wrap them up in a bubble and I'm going to roll them around life. Like, that's how I feel. And my husband's like, you are absolutely insane. Because, like, I, for example, his cousin, so my nephew came over. He's three. So Leo's 17 months, Giacomo's three. They have an age gap, but they play together. And they were playing together and Giacomo wasn't giving Leo the toy he wanted. And Leo was getting upset. And my heart was breaking. I was like, why doesn't he not want to share with my child? Like, I don't want him to feel left out. I don't want him to feel sad. So think about that scale. And then when he turns 15 and something online happens or something, like, I don't want him to feel hurt. And I think as parents, we just don't want our children to feel hurt. We don't want their, we don't want our second heart to break, right?
Okay, this is funny because, so I don't have kids, obviously, but I have my dog.
Yeah.
And my dog is very shy around my stepsister's dogs.
Yeah.
So she doesn't play with them. She just stands on the sidelines and looks really sad.
Aww.
And it breaks my heart.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, and I'm always like, I feel like the mom that has the kid that doesn't fit in. And it's, yes, just like so heartbreaking.
And,
but anyways, yeah. So you're right. We want to bubble wrap them. We want them to not hurt. But we need to remember that they are going to hurt. They, yeah, are going to make mistakes. So, yeah, what can we do to prepare them,
yeah,
for when that happens? So it's less being, you know, we kind of have to go in with the idea that, yes, they're going to get heartbroken. Yes, they're going to have bad things that happen to them. This sucks. This hurts. I hate that. But let's equip our kids with the skills and the strategies to be able to handle that when it comes.
Yeah.
And, right?
And I mean, beyond children, like, obviously you could do a whole 5-hour segment on this alone.
I could.
But let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about adults. So from my perspective, as a friend to people who are suffering with mental health issues, how do I, as an adult, approach my friends to check in on them, to make sure they're okay, to make sure that we prevent anything and we help them get the help they need when they need it?
I think that's a great question. I think we see a lot of posts on Instagram and, you know, different social media accounts like, reach out to me if you need it. Well, you know what? That's pretty intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
When, mm-hmm, you're someone who's struggling, when you are depressed, when you're anxious, when you're going through these types of feelings, reaching out to someone doesn't really feel like something that's possible very often.
Yep.
I have been in those states where I've been in a very deep depression, and sure, sometimes I'll reach out to maybe like one or two of my really, really, really close people.
Yeah.
But very rarely am I going to just reach out to that reach out to the random person who posted on Instagram saying, reach out if you need me.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
so what we need to be doing is we need to be checking in on each other, and don't just check in on your friends that have mental health concerns. Like, I have mental health issues. Don't just check in on me, like, check in on me, but also, don't forget about me, but also check in on people that you don't know have these concerns. Mm-hmm. Check on people that are just, you know, living life and trying to get by right now.
Yep.
We need to be checking in on each other, and we need to be doing it consistently. And we aren't just going to take, yeah, I'm fine as an answer.
Yep.
You know, we're going to say, no, how are you actually doing? Because, and then, you know, throw in your own struggles a little bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Say, how are you actually feeling? Because you know what, this, you know, COVID's hit me really hard.
Yeah.
Don't make it about you,
right,
but give them this space where you're also being vulnerable.
Yeah.
So that they can be vulnerable back. That would be my biggest thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's great, because I think sometimes it feels like, I know on my end, it feels a bit intrusive. Like, I don't want to be, I don't want to seem like nosy, like, hey, are you okay? Tell me what's going on, all the negative things in your life. Like, I feel like when, and especially I think as women, we become adults and we kind of do our own life. We like have our own life and we don't really, we spend time with friends, but I think also it's like COVID, it's a pandemic, but a lot of our friends we're communicating through social media, through online, texting, that sort of thing. We're not really getting that one-on-one connection face-to-face. And so I think it's harder to navigate the, like, I don't want to reach out to my friend once every 2 weeks and then I'm asking them about deep, dark, depressing things. But I guess that's what we need to do, right?
I think so. I think we need to make it more just like, let's just stay in contact with each other. I think as adults, we lose contact and then we're like, oh shit, it's been a few weeks. And like, I haven't even, you know, said anything. Like, it doesn't always have to be like, how are you really? It can be, you know, oh, I saw this on, you know, TV today, made me think of you. How are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always need to be this big, big, heavy thing. But I think as long as people realize someone's in their corner, someone's thinking about them, someone would miss them if they were gone, I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So to wrap up, what is your summary, actionable steps, thoughts for everybody listening today?
So I think the biggest thing is obviously to be kind.
Yeah.
We really need to be kind. Yeah. Keep an eye out for other
people. And not just posting on Instagram quotes about being kind. Like actually.
No,
kind.
Definitely not.
Like actually like
genuinely being kind in real life.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Be nice to people. We all have a story. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway maybe is that each and every one of us is dealing with our own stuff.
Yep.
And when we come into the world and we put ourselves into the world, whether we decide to be, you know, famous on Instagram or YouTube, whether we decide to just be kind of a standard person, we are dealing with our own things and we need to all love and respect each other regardless of, you know, all the craziness that's going on. Ask for help, reach out for help. Check on the people that you care about and you love and make sure that you are enjoying every moment with them because ultimately it can be taken very quickly.
Yeah. And what are some resources? Because some people might not have someone to reach out to. So who?
Absolutely.
What organizations?
So you can always, you know, reach out to me if this was something that was triggering to you or something you want to talk more about. There is the Canadian Suicide Prevention Service, which you can just text 45645, which is really easy.
Okay.
That is a really great option, a good first step. There is the, if you're in Simcoe Muskoka, there is a crisis line that you can also call. Unfortunately, they're very understaffed, which infuriates me.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't reach someone, so that's really challenging. But their phone number is 705-728-5044. But the suicide prevention line can be a really good start. There's also a 211. So if you dial 211 on your phone, which is easy to remember, you can let them know that you need some crisis services and they will connect you with the appropriate services that are available in your area.
Okay. Awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Again, if this episode's been heavy for you or triggering, please do not hesitate to reach out. Ashley is there for supports if you need it. Otherwise, thank you for listening, guys.